It is now time to bring our good friends, David and Marcy, from theberkshireedge.com, where you can find information, news, events, and more concerning Berkshire County area, and, of course, throughout the tri-state region. Theberkshireedge.com is the website, and they join us here on a Wednesday morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
And how
good morning.
Good morning. How are you both doing this morning?
Well, we're muddling along.
We're up, anyway.
We're up, right.
muddling is a good word. It's not a word you hear often, but it's true. There's nothing wrong with muddling along.
There's nothing like a good muddle.
That's exactly right. And we will muddle right to what you right on the line that you sent me, the dog days of August.
The dog days of August.
Yeah, you know,
although it's not as doggy as it's actually cooler than it has been. This has been, I think, the worst summer that I can ever remember in terms of weather. It rained all of July, and now it's sort of cool and damp in August. I feel like we haven't had any summer, and the days are already getting shorter.
Yes, well, I noticed that because I love it in the morning when I come in here to work, and I don't need headlights, and now
I know
I need headlights.
Now you had to put on your parking lights.
Yeah, no, it's really depressing.
Yes, your car doesn't even give you a chance to do it. It does it automatically now.
Yeah. It's
something.
They're on when you don't need them, too.
That's right.
You just don't notice it.
All right, well, let's start off.
Anyway.
Let's talk out about that incredible word called infrastructure. And I did see your story, the painting of the Brown Bridge red.
Yes, can you imagine? I mean, this has been the Brown Bridge forever.
Well, it's called the Brown Bridge because it's so rusty.
Is that why it's
Yeah,
called
that's
that?
What it was. It was so rusty, people just called it the Brown Bridge. Finally, the state got around to rehabbing it and rehabbing to repaint it. Not only did they repaint the...
Well, they rehabbed it, too.
They rehabbed it, too. They scraped and... whatever. It's a major bridge in town that takes the Route 7 over the Housatonic River, just north of the downtown area. And so it was it caused quite a traffic jam while they were painting it. And now people are complaining, because they have to have something to complain about, that it's pink.
Well, it's red. Is it going to be called the Pink Bridge now?
I don't know what they'll be calling it.
In West Cornwall, every once in a while, when the state has to get around to painting the bridge, it's a red covered bridge. And one year they ordered the paint, and the paint came in, and they painted the bridge, and it wasn't red. And of course, that was the end of the world. And the state, I'll give the state credit. Within a week, they had it the right paint and put up. But people attach a very personal value to things that have been a certain way, whether it's their property or not.
Oh, well, yes. Change is very difficult.
I always associate that red color with Rust-Oleum.
That's what it is.
Keeps the bridge, rust-free.
Well, I suppose now people are trying to figure out what to call it. This is very important, of course.
Well, people forget that bridge, there used to be a factory on that site, and Paul Newman filmed a movie there. Many, many, many years ago.
He did, right?
I mean, we're talking years. I mean, probably at least 30 or 40 years ago. Yeah, there was a movie that featured that bridge and a factory that was at that site that was featured.
Really? At one end of the bridge.
I forget.
It was on the east end of the... Yeah. On the other side of the... River.
Yep. I forget what the movie was, but anyways, there's a little bit of history for the bridge in Great Barrington.
Right. Well, now people are saying, it was originally called the Great Barrington Bridge, and then that was too long, so they called it the Great Bridge. And then somehow it became the Brown Bridge, but now there's a suggestion that we call it the Great Bridge again. But...
Why do we have to call it anything?
Decisions. Let's call it the Mario Cuomo Bridge. Only kidding.
Wrong
only kidding.
State.
Wrong state, wrong time. All right. Now, this is interesting. When what happened in Afghanistan, I wrote on my Facebook page, and I mentioned on the air in my own opinion, basically an editorial that said, well, what did you think was going to happen? And you have now, from a Lakeville resident, a national correspondent for Newsday, an essay on what has happened in Afghanistan.
Yeah, this is Jim Sleeper, and it's an interesting and insightful essay. He points out he calls it American ignorance.
Yeah. Well,
and he reminds us of the disgrace of the fall of Saigon many years ago. Another fruitless war that we got involved in.
Well, you know what's interesting about his article and what you're saying, if you go back to the when Iraq invaded their country next to them and took it over. Bahrain. Which country it was, and Desert Storm, the original with Norman Schwarzkopf.
Is that Kuwait?
Kuwait. And when we won, when that war was over, very quickly people wanted him to go in and invade Baghdad, and he very specifically said, "Our mission here was to do this. We did it. We're not a country builder. We helped get them out of a country, and this is where our mission ends." We forgot that in Vietnam. We forgot that in Afghanistan, our mission was to get rid of Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. We succeeded in that mission, and that's where the mission should have ended. But America, for some reason, goes on these follies where we think we could introduce a form of government like ours to a country that over centuries has been ungovernable.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Which has been learned by many cultures over many centuries.
You'd think people would learn and know what the outcome is going to be. That it's just going to be a travesty, and it is a travesty. It's a travesty for people that don't want to live there. It's a travesty for women. It's a travesty when you see those pictures. But the question is, what did we think was going to happen? You know, no, in the history of that country, no one has been able to rule it. Really,
no one. No, it's true, they haven't.
Well, this was simply, I think, a paroxysm of revenge, you know?
Well, it's hard to know.
I mean, on our part.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Because of the terrorism that took root there at one time.
Well, I have a very good friend who happens to write an international column for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Her name is Trudy Rubin, and I spoke to her on the phone yesterday. She is spending every waking hour trying to get people she knows out of Afghanistan. And, you know, these are human rights workers and their families. And, you know, she's pulling every string she knows to try to, and apparently there is a very wealthy person who has contributed $500,000 to send chartered flights into Afghanistan and get some of these Afghanis out. But the Americans right now are not letting charter flights land because they're busy using their airstrip to get their own people out. So it's we don't know half of what's going on, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
And it was great about
And you can't help. I mean, as much as I agree that we cannot be, you know, we cannot be policing the world, it's terrible to see these things happening to people.
Well, we can help police the world, but in cooperation with other countries with the countries that you want to go into. It's like when a hurricane comes through and there's a disaster, you want to help. You go in and help, and you try to help. Now, I'm in no way am I giving the Taliban any lead, not at all. But all I'm saying is that we tend to lose our focus as the United States and make some horrible mistakes. And, you know, I guess you got to take the good with the bad, what goes on with this country, because it's obvious that we're never going to learn. Billions of dollars spent, thousands of lives lost, not only here with us, but with people who live in Afghanistan. And now you've got 20 to 30,000 Afghan people that have to be airlifted out of there in the next month and a half. I think that's when the Taliban's given rights to do that, to save their lives. It's not a pretty situation.
If the Taliban respects that agreement.
Yeah. Right? It's just not a good looking situation. And we seem to fall into this this trap a lot. Yeah, we just never seem. So this article.
Well, we have to remember also, I mean, I know everybody's going to blame Biden, and this is going to be a terrible shadow hanging over his administration. But, you know, it was the Trump administration that gave the Taliban a seat at the table and legitimized them.
And it was also the Obama administration, the Bush administration that kept pursuing this fact that, you know, we can make this country a democracy or a form of democracy.
Yes.
And just, you know, just look at the history of Afghanistan. It's not like the history of many other countries. It's always been ruled by warlords from different areas. And a central government has never seemed to work at it. Well, anyway, it's a great story. Read it, Jim Sleeper at theBerkshireEdge.com.
Right.
And now we can go on to the other story, and that is COVID and the Berkshire Regional School District.
Right. Meanwhile,
back at the ranch.
back at the ranch. The Berkshire Regional School District, which is one of two big school districts here in the southern Berkshire County, have issued a mask mandate for all students and faculty, and they're issuing a vaccination requirement for the staff. I mean, this just makes sense. But
Faculty and staff, is it for students too?
No, just for faculty.
Faculty and staff.
Yeah. So, anyways, they have the mask mandate. It is in place regardless of vaccination status. So.
Do you think that they're going to go to requiring students to wear masks too?
Well, that's
we don't know.
We don't know.
Right.
Connecticut's going to start off that way, and New York's going to start off that way, and they're going to.
Well, what they're worried about is this new Delta variant, which is much more
infectious
and communicable. So that's what Peter Dillon, the superintendent, has warned.
And I think the Berkshire County has really been amazingly diligent about, you know, people are already wearing masks again in the supermarkets. You know, we have a very high rate of vaccination, but still we now have like 108 per 100,000 cases last week. So. You know, people are ramping up again. So.
Yeah, it's a situation that, you know what, people nowadays are just too black and white. They just cannot accept the fact that every once in a while you have to do something good for all, not just good for one. And it just comes down to that basic summation. But we'll see what happens.
Being good for all is an infringement of your rights.
It's one of those things.
Yeah.
You know, what I find so interesting about this whole episode with this pandemic is how, how the response was not let's all get together and get over this, but rather, you know, don't tread on me. don't make me wear a mask, even if it'll save my life.
Right. And yours.
And others. It's quite astonishing, I think.
Let's go on to the next story, because even though there's a pandemic, the Sharon Playhouse is running full steam and they're being very safe in what they're doing. The Berkshire Theater Group is going strong. Ankrum, New York. I mean, we now have a lot of different things. We have options to do, and we have rules to follow, but at least we have things to do.
Yes,
right.
We do, and I hope that we will, and one of them is this play called Four Women, which is the story of Nina Simone.
Right, and we have two dueling reviewers reviewing Smith, which I thought was kind of fun to see how two reviewers would—they like it. So
they both like it.
Yeah, they both like it.
Right.
So that's one of the offerings right now. So
and another offering that we're reviewing is in Ankrum at the Ankrum Opera House. The plein air plays, a series of one acts that our reviewer Dan O'Dwyer reviews, and he finds them intriguing.
Right. So there's plenty to do.
There's plenty to do. I mean, you know, the problem is the weather because, for example, we have tickets for Jacob's Pillow. We've had, so far, of the four performances that we bought tickets for at Jacob's Pillow, two of the three that already took place were rained out. Tonight is our fourth, and I am waiting to see whether it's going to be rained out. We have one more left. So, you know, the season, I mean, the Pillow has tried very hard, but they're only performing outdoors, and there's been so much rain that, you know, a lot of their stuff has been rained out, and they are giving refunds
for
rain. So it's not like they're not even asking to please donate the tickets. They're giving refunds. But, you know, it's been very difficult. Shakespeare and Company was trying to perform outdoors in their new outdoor theater, and they've been rained out a lot. If you're performing under a tent, you can usually get away with it, but so many of these places are performing outdoors.
Yeah, it's like we say, one step at a time. We'll see, you know, hopefully for all these
businesses. Well, hopefully, because I know that, you know, I know of at least one event one community event that was planned for the middle of September that has been canceled because of the Delta variant. And I'm sure there will be more. We are, you know, we're working on our magazine.
It's hard to put it together,
November, December, January issue of the magazine, and we're collecting, you know, information on events that are supposed to take place in November, December, January, and we feel almost like we did last year that we have no idea
if they're going to be held or not.
Place.
Yeah, it's one of those, once again, the roll of the dice things when you do this. Well, I'll move on to the next story, and that is something that has become big throughout the tri-state region, and this is the state of Massachusetts funding Great Barrington with a grant of over $126,000, which will complete a trail system which goes north and east of the downtown area.
Right, and this is for walkers and hikers, and it's just a reminder that you know, we have a nice trail network in the town, and so people can take advantage of it. And it's not only this is a recreational opportunity, as because we have plenty of cultural events to go to, but you know, you can get out and walk some of the really beautiful trails in the trail network in the town.
And, you know, we are really very torn about this because David and I are both great train aficionados, and, you know, we are desperate to have a train from the Berkshires to New York. But
which would go through Connecticut.
Yes. But on the other hand, we love these rail trails.
Yeah.
Now, this one is not a rail trail. This is, but it'll be connecting with trails, many of which were rail trails, and the rail trails are wonderful. You know, we have done a lot of biking on the rail trail that goes from Copaic down through Millerton to Wasaic. I mean, and it's gorgeous. The countryside is beautiful. The trails are beautifully maintained. It's quiet. There are people walking, cycling, rollerblading. I mean, it's terrific.
We have about a minute left. I want to talk about the profile of Damon Groves.
Oh, yes. well, he's a piano tuner. And he keeps the pianos at Tanglewood in tune. And we have a profile of, this is a behind-the-scenes look at what he calls himself a piano technician. That's the that's the official title.
But he's got 80 pianos.
He's got 80 pianos to keep in tune, which is, I think, is an astonishing number of what a responsibility for keeping all those pianos. You know, and pianos can get out of tune due to changes in temperature and humidity. So it's quite a he's really a key element in the Tanglewood Music Festival every summer, and we're glad to profile someone who's sort of behind the scenes but makes it work.
All right. Well,
now, can we just say something more about David Groves?
Yeah.
Do we have time? Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, as we say, I mean, he's called a piano technician because he is capable of correctly assembling an entire grand piano from its 12,000 constituent parts and then tuning it. Now, that is quite extraordinary, and he has a degree from Western University in London, Ontario, and there are a few other schools. So this is quite a skill and unknown.
All right. So, well, people can read about it in the Berkshire at the
nice
Berkshire Ridge.
Nice way to end the day.
Yep, the Berkshire
Ridge. Yep,
the BerkshireRidge.com. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
All this and more at the BerkshireRidge.com, as I say.